I think what really matters to me is like that we stay in the work, that if you're here to be a coach, if this is who you are, that you get the support you need to stay in the work, because we need you and we need you to do it in a way that works for you and in a way that works for your people. So if that means sticking with your business coach longer than you had planned, do it. If that means getting yourself Reiki every Wednesday, do it. If that means buying organic groceries, like whatever keeps you in the game, please stay in the game.
Welcome to Passionate and Prosperous, the only podcast about creating success in your life and business by using your voice, gifts, and skills to do the work that lights you up, make money, and have massive impact in the world. This show teaches coaches, creatives, and service-oriented human beings how to trust in yourself and leverage your unique message, experience, and expertise to attract your ideal audience, create clients, and organically build your soul-aligned business. I'm your host, mindset and business strategy coach, Stacey Brass Russell, and I can't wait to help you to set yourself up for success and use your passion to create the prosperous life and business that you truly desire. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Passionate and Prosperous. I have a guest for you today. I know you're probably thinking, Stacey, what is going on? You've started having so many guests, and that is really the mission of 2024, is to bring you more amazing inspirational people that I'm meeting in my life, because I have spent the second half of 2023 and into 2024 for me expanding my network. So I really wanted to get out into some other circles. I had been kind of in the same little bubble for a few years, and midway through 2023, I made it my mission to just kind of like do something that's pretty uncomfortable for me. And I know that a lot of you know that I, you know, was on Broadway and I'm an actress and whatever. But the truth is that when it comes to like socially and meeting new people, I have a little bit of like an introverted thing going on. And it's a big deal for me to kind of step into a new community where I don't know anybody, but I made it my mission. And literally since June, so it hasn't even been a year, I have joined a couple of different masterminds and communities, and I've been meeting all of these incredible, really mostly women, a couple of men, but mostly women. And it's just been so, it's been fantastic. And you know, I talk all the time about the importance of surrounding yourself with like-minded entrepreneurs, service providers, whatever you, I know a lot of you don't think of yourself as an entrepreneur, but business owners, people who do what you do, people who are more interested in collaborating and supporting. It's the only way that you can really feel like you're inside getting some real connection and communication with people. When you're on the outside and you're just like scrolling on social media and you're looking at what people post and you're looking at how they're depicting themselves and their businesses and their lives, it can be so easy to fall down this rabbit hole of compare and despair, and to, you know, not really, you never really know how someone's doing business, or, you know, what's going on for them. And so this is a really big mission of mine in my business, is to always make sure that I'm surrounded by people who inspire me, who I can learn from, who I can collaborate with, because collaboration is the number one way to grow your business, unless you're going to go pay for it, you know, pay for ads and stuff. So anyway, that's a little backstory. I've been meeting all these new people, which is why I get to bring them to you. So today I have a guest that I'm so excited to introduce you to, Karen Gillen. Karen is a coach and strategist for coaches who want to grow spacious and sustainable businesses that really work for their lives. Now, Karen, I want you to say hi, but before we dive in, I want to tell everybody like how I discovered you. So okay. First, say hi.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you. So I just want you all to know that Karen and I are in like a little little mind, I don't know, mini mind, we'll call it, together. And and we're all supporting each other. And one thing that we were doing was like supporting each other's podcasts and reviewing each other and doing, you know, guest exchanges. But when I went to give Karin a review, I picked an episode of hers to listen to. And it was a birthday episode that she recorded on her birthday. And like 5 minutes in, Karin, I was like, oh my God, I love this woman and I need her to come be on the show. So I'm so excited. We don't know each other that well. And thank you for being here.
Yeah, I love it. I love that the birthday episode's point was to really have people get to know me in a new way. And you came in and within 5 minutes, it sounds like you knew me in a new way. So it's a win.
I don't even know if it was a new way. It was just the only way that I got to know you.
Yeah.
But so let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little runway to let you start talking. Because one of the things that I was so drawn to about you was that it sounded to me, and you can tell me if I heard it right. It sounded to me like you've known from a very early like time in your life that you were sort of meant to be in this space, like this space mm-hmm. of life coaching, you know, like personal growth.
Long before it was cool. Like,
I know. And that was one of the things that made me like, I was like, yes, yes. Because, you know, one of the things that I try to, you know, really talk about on the show is how when you're a life coach or, you know, someone in this space of whatever we want to call it, transformation, I like to kind of make an umbrella. It can feel like hard to make this a business, you know? And I was so inspired listening to you of just like the journey you've taken to just do this. This has been your life's work. And I think it'll be really inspiring for everyone to hear that like it's possible to, you know, to choose to do this and to actually get to do it and make it your living. So yeah. Walk us back a little bit as to like, you know, when did you know and how did you kind of forge this path before, as you said, before it was really cool?
Mm-hmm. Well, I found out what a life coach was. I think I was 22 years old. So that was 21 years ago. And I was on a trip to Spain with three dudes, these buddies of mine. And I got to Spain and it was just like, what is this thing called that I want to do with my life? And I could kind of feel it and I had a sense of it. But I didn't know what it was called. And so I spent a lot of time Googling. Wait, this was pre-Google. I was like Yahooing maybe, searching internet right. search cafes, trying yeah. to figure it out.
Using the encyclopedia.
Exactly. So, you know, we had Martha Beck and Tony Robbins. Those were our life yep. coaches back then. And I emailed my mom and I was like, I've got it. I'm going to be a life coach. And I got a response back that said, who wants a 22-year-old life coach? And I was sort of mm-hmm. like, well, crap, maybe she's right. So I went and became a therapist, always with this knowing in the background that like what I am, like life coaching is who I am. And even if someday they might regulate it, I want to take care of my career and go get this master's degree so that no matter what happens, I'll be able to do this work. But it was shortly after working as a therapist, 5 months to be exact, no, a year and 5 months, I was like, it's time to go back where I really belong.
You know, I want to ask you about that because I'm married to a psychoanalyst and I work with a lot of life coaches and health and life coaches. And a lot of times when people come to me and we're really like figuring out their niche and, you know, what kind of coach they really are, like what they really do. I have to have this conversation a lot with people about the distinction between therapy and coaching mm-hmm. and how important it is as a coach to be able to tell your client the difference, because it's not even about like whether or not you can help people with a variety of things. But I also think that coaching and therapy have different kind of like aspirations or goals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to talk about that a lot with people. Can you talk about that? I think that yeah. this will be great for everyone to hear.
Yeah. First of all, I think of mental health as this full spectrum. and you can fall anywhere on it and ride around at different places at different points in your life. And I think that traditional therapy falls on one end of the spectrum. And there is some crossover with what coaching can do at the higher end of that mental health diagnosed kind of area. So we have some crossover. And then there's this whole other end of the spectrum, which you can call high performance or, you know, going after your goals, all that stuff, that coaching can ride that whole rest of the spectrum. So I think it's important to note that it is perfectly acceptable and beautiful for a coach to coach someone right into therapy, right out of your business and into a therapist's office. Because if someone's going to go find help and you're the person they find and you're not the right person, they still found you and you're still there to help them get what they need. So I am a big fan of us supporting people right to where they need to get, even if that means we're refunding them money and moving them right out of our office. And just one of the things that I've learned over the years to watch out for, if you're worried about this, or if you're like, I don't know if they should be in therapy or if they should work with me, is to really watch for this sense of, I'm working with this person who's very capable and they're so smart and I really enjoy them, but they keep coming up against the same stuff and nothing's changing. Yeah. And they're so skilled and capable that it seems like it should have worked by now. Oftentimes there's mm-hmm. something else getting in the way. And I think that can be a great time to send them to look into, like, is it anxiety? Is it depression? Like, what's happening under this that you want a therapist to support them with?
Yeah. I think a lot of people that become coaches want to support people around their, like, anxiety and depression. And I think it's really important to even, you used the word spectrum before. I think even with anxiety and depression, there are spectrums of that. And I think that certain anxiety, or sometimes I also think people label, like, certain emotions or experiences right. or feelings as anxiety or depression. I think it's, like, really easy to, like, oh, right. I'm so
sadness
depressed.
Does not,
you know,
equal,
what I mean?
Depression, like, and anxiousness
right.
does not
or
equal
low
anxiety.
Vibe. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like low vibe, or like kind of being in, like, a demotivated state, or, you know, there's so mm-hmm. many things. And so I think it can be tricky, because I think even the individual themselves doesn't always know the perfect word to describe mm-hmm. what they're experiencing. But I do think, you know, for coaches, I think coaching and therapy coexist really well together also. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, you know, it's great to have a therapist and a coach. Like, if mm-hmm. if it feels like the work isn't, you know, I don't know, contradicting each other, but I always find that coaching is really for the person who's in a place where they're ready to figure out how they're going to take action and move forward. And a mm-hmm. lot of times what people go to therapy for is not action. It's not even the right time for them to take action. It's not the right mm-hmm. time for them to do something different or new, yeah. right? And I think that that's a lot, at least in my experience, like, so much of coaching is helping people to figure out, like, what it is that they think that they would like to do in order to, you know, create what's next for them in their mm-hmm. lives, like, you know, and have something, and have a shift or have a change.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you so much for talking about that. Cause I think people want to hear it too, because a lot of times
yeah.
coaches also don't know how to describe it. Like, they get asked, people mm-hmm. get asked, well, what's the difference between therapy and coaching?
Yeah. Right. And I think it's like, there are some similarities, but it's like, therapy is, let's get together now and process what is and process what was. And coaching is, let's get together now and process what is and process what will be. And, like,
yes,
make it happen.
Exactly.
It's more like process the future.
Exactly. And, you know, my husband is, you know, psychoanalysis is even, like, more focused on, like, it's like, you could be in psychoanalysis for 10 years, like, mm-hmm. and you can lay on the couch and say the same thing over and over again for 5 of those years and then not say something new until yeah. the 6th year.
You cannot do that in coaching. I will fire you as a
exactly.
client if you do that.
But yeah. that's what I mean. Like, we should not, that is not what coaching is for, mm-hmm. you know? So,
Yeah. And I've actually been talking recently about the difference between, like, there's so much in the marketing world about, we want to sell a solution and we want to sell, clients are going to come in and they're going to leave with X, Y, or Z. But what I've noticed in my practice, because as a therapist, I was very much like, come in, get what you need, leave. Like, this is not going to be where you're going to live forever. And I find as a coach, people are coming in, getting what they need and staying. And so you kind of have to figure out what kind of a coach you are. Like, are you someone who really grows with people and partner for a long time? Or are you like, I want to deliver this one solution and then I want people to go? We're all different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of the things I loved, I went to your website, and one of the things I love was that you reference your clients as that you work with remarkable people.
Yeah. So I had, it was like, I don't know, a year or two ago, it's just like noticing that I wanted to talk about my clients, not in the breaking confidentiality kind of way, but like, these people are remarkable, like what they're doing behind the scenes, the lives that they're living, they're amazing. And so it's the way I've always described them. People don't necessarily come to me and say, well, I'm a remarkable person. Can you coach me?
No, of course.
Right. But it is, but like every single one of them, that's the truth. And like, it's the same, like every time I read a memoir, I fall in love with the person. I think it's the same when we're coaching. It's like, if you're going to show up and be honest with me and tell me the truth about your life, there's no way that I can't not love you. I'm just going to. And you're going to, like, your whole life is going to be amazing to me. And I'm going to want to share your greatness with people.
No one's coming to a coach to work with a coach who's sitting around literally like a blob doing nothing. Like everyone that comes to me is some person who is, you know, they're a parent. They've been, maybe they still work, but they are trying to like become, they want to do this thing that is their passion. They're trying to fit it all in. They've had
busy,
all of these
rich,
life experiences.
Incredible lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's sometimes one of their biggest challenges, right? Is like the people that come to us because they're so devoted to being amazing parents and they're, you know, they take care of so many people and they're out there doing things and they're challenged by not having enough time to do the other big things they want to do, you know? So it's like, it's a liability, right? To be someone who's doing so many great things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it just reminds me, like, think about Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, like all these great athletes, they have coaching every time, right? There's, when I talk about that spectrum, like we're optimizers. The reason people hire me is to come in, they want to borrow my energy. So you, like when you hire your coach, you like you're hiring their energy, you're co-regulating with them. And then they want to have two brains looking at their one life. How cool is that? It's like we're watching the game tape of someone's human existence and their impact on their family, their community. Like it's a really big deal. It's a really incredible job. And I just haven't met anyone who wasn't like showing up for coaching who wasn't pretty, pretty darn remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an important, I think also, do you think energetically, not, it might not, like the way you said, like people don't come to you, they don't go to your website and go, well, I'm a remarkable person. I guess I'll call Karen to be my coach. Right. But do you think that energetically, I'll get a little bit, you know, kind of like woo right now. Mm-hmm. Do you think that energetically you deciding to see your clients as that and to feel that way about the people that you work with, do you think that that helps you to more easily attract clients when that's your energy that you're coming from?
I think 1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Like, I do too.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to be spending your whole life outside of direct service trying to attract people you don't like. That sounds terrible to me, right? And I think it's a little bit awkward because we've been trained and our culture is like value hard work and get out there and pull up your bootstraps and grind away at life. So it's a little weird that in this line of work, we're saying, how do I show up exactly as I am to help the people I can help the easiest with the most speed and grace? And in order to do that, I have to know myself and I have to be willing to have my life feel like I'm getting away with something, because what I'm doing is hanging out with really cool people having a lot of fun, helping them in the way that I'm really good at helping. So for me, life feels quote unquote easy, right? All the other stuff, like, yeah, I'm showing up online, I'm learning new tech. Like sometimes that feels hard and awkward.
Right.
But like the real work feels like, you know, when are the big people coming and they're going to find out that I'm just like, I'm just hanging out with really cool people all the time, helping them out. Like,
yeah,
it blows my mind. We get to do this.
Let's talk about the fact that you've been a coach for a long time. You have a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I and you also support people to have businesses, right? Do mm-hmm. you call yourself a business coach or like a life and business? Like, what do you call yourself?
I call myself a life coach, a business strategist for coaches, a business coach. I got to tell you, my website's way out of date. It needs a total refresh, but it's all still true. I'm just not very clear over there. So yeah. But I think at the heart of it, I'm a life coach.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I get that. We were talking before the episode and I shared a little bit about my journey and I told you, you know, I'm like, I feel like I became a business coach by accident. You know, I thought, oh, I'm going to be a life coach. I've been a yoga teacher for 20 years. Like, and I became a coach because of what we were talking about before, because mm-hmm. I felt like the people that were my yoga students some of them for, you know, almost 20 years, you know, I had some people that followed me from studio to studio till I owned my own studio. And then whatever, I had this huge range of students from, you know, a few years to like a really long time. And so I was with these people for years and developed relationships, and everybody would come up to me, you know, before or after class and share whatever they need to share with me. And I taught so many people private lessons and just so many conversations. And what I started noticing was that in the yoga class, right? Like I could lead a yoga class and at the end of the class, people would feel so much better. That would be the word they'd describe. Oh my God, I feel so much better than when I got here. What I noticed was that the only time everybody was feeling this sort of clarity or this possibility or this like being able to be present and not as wrapped up in identifying with like their struggles and problems, right? Like it was so fleeting. So what would happen is they weren't actually taking action from that place. They weren't doing anything. They weren't changing anything. And that's literally what made me go, I got to get another certification, because I think I have to be able to support the people outside. I have to help them figure out what to do with the mm-hmm. shifted nervous system. And and I had to help them figure out like what to do, you know, so that they would actually take action and not just kind of stay, you know, stay the same other than when they were enjoying a yoga class.
Yeah. You want it, you know, life is about more than just those 5 minutes after Shavasana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which are a great 5 minutes. I mean, I love that time too.
Oh, it's, yeah. I mean, incredible. Sometimes the best of the day, right? But so that's why I said I actually really, you know, thought I'm going to be a life coach, and I kind of became this accidental business coach. But when you and I were talking before, I was saying, I actually think, and you know, it's kind of hard to, I mean, I guess it's not hard. I could say whatever I want out in the sphere, public sphere, but I was telling you how I actually think that a life coach as a business coach for other coaches is the most perfect thing. And there's a lot of business coaches out there that are not life coaches. I had one. My first business coach I ever hired was not a trained coach. She was just really good at business stuff, mm-hmm. basically, you know. But she had never trained as a coach. She didn't have any life coaching experience. So it didn't have only to do with how she could support me, like as a person, but also with what I do. She wasn't able to like really understand the difference between like what I do as like as a life coach, right, at the time, and what someone else does that whose business is not as transformational or as kind of like deep as life coaching.
Yeah.
Can you address that? Like, do you feel that supporting other coaches, that one of the things that you're gifted or why you're the right person is mm-hmm. because you can also support them as coaches, that you can actually help them yeah. be better coaches as well as support them in their lives and businesses.
Yeah, because there's those three things happening. We have like the business owner's life, we have the business, and then we have their coaching level and coaching mastery that they're working towards. And when I work with folks, you know, until you're hitting, I don't know, hopefully a couple hundred grand a year or more, you don't have all of the extra money to hire all people for every department, right? Like right. I can't constantly be going out and working on my coaching, working on my business and working on myself all at the same time with three different people who aren't communicating. So I think one of the right. things that you and I are both doing that's really valuable is when you come to work with us, it truly is three for the price of one.
Yeah.
And I'm very aware, like in how I price things, of where people are in their business, and that I want them to make this choice and get to afford this like really beautiful amount and level of support right where they are. It's not about like, well, if I sell X number of these certain offers to this many coaches, I can get my like business funnel doing X, Y, or Z. It's truly like, if I want the best for my industry, if I want to raise the standard of what coaching is, of what coaching businesses are, because that is one of my goals, is like industry standard is not good enough. We need to yeah. all be up leveling that together, because the coaching industry has taken some hits, and now is the time. Well, totally. 3-5 years ago was the time, but not we weren't there yet to yeah. up level everything.
Oh my God, I love that. It drives me. I mean, obviously part of business is like being online, being in Facebook groups and whatever. And, you know, when I see people bashing coaching and coaches, you know, it makes me so upset, because there are a lot of people out there that are genuinely really great coaches. I mean, a lot of the clients I work with have invested, you know, like, not just to become like a start out level coach, which there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have mm-hmm. to start somewhere. But a lot of the people I work with have even invested to become, you know, a more master level coach. Mm-hmm. They've spent so much, yeah, and not only life coaches, training. But even like the health coaches that then go on to do functional nutrition, and that, you know, all of the people that I've worked or do other certifications in like more specialty areas, like emotional, you know, there's so mm-hmm. many things that coaches can do to like further educate themselves. And I work with so many people, and myself included. I mean, you know, when I was I'm one of those people that like, and I try to teach my clients this too. I say, you can be a person who's always going to want to like keep bettering your yep. skills and taking yeah. more trainings and studying with like people that like inspire you. But that doesn't mean that you're not already qualified though to be
correct. Like,
serving your clients. That's like a real syndrome too.
The She's whole, right. Like, listen to her.
No, yeah. But you know what I mean? The whole, yeah. I need more, I need another certification. I need, you know what yeah. I'm trying to tell people? No, you don't. Just, you can still do that, but you can also still be coaching right now.
Go
you know,
serve another 10 clients and then answer that question. Like if you serve another 10 clients, then let's talk.
Yeah. And also you don't need to be, you know, you only need to be X amount of steps ahead of somebody to be a great coach for them, you mm-hmm. know, to be able to yeah. turn around and support them. Yeah.
There's another thing that happens too. Whenever we go through another training program, like you go get trauma informed, or you bring in like whatever the new thing is you want to bring into your practice. When we go and we put that amount of energy and time and resource into learning, that takes away from revenue generation and marketing time. And then we become this new person. We start to integrate it into our work. And there's usually a phase of like wobbliness about our, it kind of like makes us relook at everything we're doing. And so it's like, when you decide I'm going to add something to my practice, it's not only like, oh, how long is the certification? 6 months. I can do that. It's like, no, but it's 6 months. And then it's like 6 to 18 months where you're going to be integrating and changing. And like, there's the long tail of how this really impacts. So like it's never the amount of time that it takes. It's always like double or triple what it takes.
Well, also, and I don't know how you know, what you're, what you think of this, but because I have had, I've trained and certified so many yoga teachers, And what would happen is someone would get certified, they'd start teaching, and then immediately like go take like, you know, and this is fine, like an advanced workshop, like maybe even with me or with, you know, some great visiting teacher, and then literally go to teach their class that night and try to immediately start teaching this new thing that they had learned. And I would say to them, you can't teach that yet. You haven't even like fully like, you haven't like integrated that yet into your own practice.
Yeah.
You have to like do that in your own practice, like your personal practice for like a while before you can go around and or turn around and teach it to your students. Like, because that's actually like a little irresponsible to sort of like teach something. It's almost like you're just handing off rather than like learning something, taking it in, putting it into your own practice, trying it on, seeing how it fits.
Understanding and what its roots.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a real thing. And I think when you're talking about why is it important to have someone who's been a life coach also be your business coach, I think that's related to it, because there's just a lot of hand-me-down information out there. And while there's a lot of good hand-me-down information and you can make a lot of money with it, if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing and someone's not able to teach you the why, then you're walking out of there not understanding, like, how do I then develop further business strategy? It's like, I'm always going to have to hire someone if someone's just feeding me info. So it's like, can somebody teach you strategy and show you the full playground that you have at your fingertips? Or is it just like plug and play with this thing that I learned from someone else?
Yeah. And the other thing is, with everything that anyone shows us, teaches us, mentors us, whatever, we have to do it. And the way that it plays out for each one of us in our individual business and who we are and whatever, none of us are ever going to get the exact same results, right? Like, my coach can tell me about it, the exact, you know, I'm leading a 5-day training this week and, you know, whatever. There's a lot of things that I have in place this time. I've got the coaches that work for me are offering people 15-minute strategy calls, and we've got all kinds of things going on. It's a launch event. But I have to do it. I'm not going to necessarily get the exact same like results as my coach, because she taught me these new, you know, I'm implementing some new stuff this time. I have to see how it plays out, like for me and my business, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk to you about the word spaciousness. In your birthday episode, you talked about that word. And one of the things when I first reached out to you and was like, I want to do a podcast swap with you. And I was like, and you said your word, you said spaciousness, and that was my word for 2024. I'd love to have you talk about how you feel you're able to embody that or have that word be an important word to you, while also, how would you talk to someone, you know, obviously you and I were at a different stage in our business than maybe some of the people that we support. I don't know if you consider, I don't know who you work with really, but like, I work with a lot of people in the earlier stages of their business, and it doesn't feel spacious all the time for them you know, they have their lives. And like I said earlier, they've got kids, and some of them are still working because they can't really afford to just like quit so they can like go full time with their coaching before they're making money. They've got families, they've got all their stuff, right?
Yeah.
And fitting in, they're getting their coaching business off the ground, figuring out their presence on social media or what they're going to do. You have to do something, right? Clients don't just fall out of the sky to us. So we all have to do something. Yeah. And I don't think they feel spacious. And I have a hard time. I'm not going to lie. I have a hard time helping them figure out how to be spacious when how can you do it all? You know, it's hard to feel spacious. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I think the first question I have is like, is now the time for spaciousness? Because I went through that, right? I had the full-time job. I had the toddler. I was primary breadwinner. I was building my coaching business. I didn't have a lot of spaciousness. I was trying to create it by like getting up at 5 in the morning. And, you know, that had an impact on my body. That it definitely did. And I didn't have a lot of spaciousness. And I was okay because I was committed to that at the time. So I think, you know, when I'm coaching someone around this time of business, I think you have to have an end date on it. Like, how long is this going to go? How is this going to work? And for how long? How long can you actually do this? Can you do this for 3 months? Do you want to do this for 3 months? Like, and the other thing is the levers that you have to play with are speed and time. Like, you could decide, because I have this job, I'm okay with getting where I thought I should get in 3 months, but having it take a year. Like, you can extend your calendar so that you get to build in what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, someone, I don't know, a few months ago, someone that I was connecting with on social media, like, you know, she found me and we were having like a whole back and forth, and she was working with these coaches that had basically said to her that if she was really all in on her coaching business, that she would quit, that she shouldn't have another job, because if she had another job, it would, you know, it was taking away from her, like, energetic, you know, being all in her business. And this phrase, all in,
yeah,
all in.
I've heard that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I made a whole episode on it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then she ended up being in like dire financial straits. And, and at that time that she was talking to me, she literally was interviewing for jobs and felt like she couldn't tell the coaches because they were going to like be mad at her or whatever. And, you know, I tell everybody this story, and you and I are different in that, like, I'm older than you and I didn't start my coaching business till I was 50. Right. And so here I am, I'm 55 now. I've got all of these friends who are like 55 to 60 and up. I have friends who are getting ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And I've never been anything in my whole life besides an actor, a yoga teacher, and then a coach. There ain't no, like, first of all, I can't head to retirement right now. And secondly, when I became a coach, in order to do this, I had to teach so much. I was still teaching so much yoga. I know that sounds like, what's the big deal? A yoga class here and there, but I was leading teacher trainings.
Huge
I was,
deal. Yeah.
I was hustling. I was running around teaching all my privates, because that's how you can make more money. I was working so hard as a yoga teacher to fund my coaching business. And I was 50 and 51 and 52. And, you know, my friends, you know, would be like, you know, can you make a date or a plan? And I'd be like, yes, we're looking 2 months from now. And they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, I'm working really hard, you know, to do what I need to do. And I chose that. And I think it's okay. And I think there's a lot out there also in the industry about, and I don't think it applies to people who are really coaching human beings. There's so much, whatever you want to call it, noise out there about working 3 hours a day or 3 hours a week and then spending the rest of your time drinking pina coladas in a bikini and having this life of freedom. And I work 3 minutes a day and I make $10,000, you know, like for nothing. And there's so much messaging out there from people that I think that when I get to someone and they're actually a coach and we're trying to have them have a business, I think it's like a mind fuck for them that when they realize that they are having to spend a lot of hours like working in their business, figuring out the marketing, where to get clients, like building connections, I think that they think that that's bad, like that there's something wrong with that or that that's not how it's supposed to be. And that's why it's not going well for them. And I'm like,
there's nothing wrong with you for having to work at it.
Yeah.
Well, and we can't trust a snapshot. If someone posts a single snapshot of their life and where they are and of the seven or the six figure launch they just had, what you don't see is the 13 years prior and the first 7 years of their business where they didn't even make 10K a year.
Right.
Right. Like,
and you don't know how long they were working back then. And, you know, so in this industry, I fear for the people who are sold a wrong, you know, like that they're sold that like, go get a certification, come out, be a coach, and you have a life of freedom. And I'm like, I don't think it's not a good thing to
set people up for. You gotta wanna love the work. Like, you're going to have to love the work of meeting people, telling them that you're a life coach and you can help them, and being out there. Like, the only reason this is working for you or I is because we love to do it. We fought to get to do this. Like, this, it was hard for me to move from I have a job that supports me and my family to I am a solopreneur, right? That was not an easy transition, but I wanted to get there. And I worked really hard to get there. I worked really consistently to get there. And it's, you know, I've been in business 15 plus 16 years helping people. Like, yeah. And so I can pull off now what I couldn't pull off 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Every year, and you get more currency, you get more, there's more out there for you. There's more trees to shake, but you earn that by showing up and doing what you said you'd do. And putting out value for people, helping them.
What is your, like, what do you do for your own business to attract coaching clients?
I show up places as myself.
Like, do you mean physically in real life or also online or both? Like what both. Do you, I think our audience wants to hear this. So I want, like, okay, you know, yeah. So transparency from successful coaches is like what I value on the show. I think people want to hear it. And you know, like, where do you go? What do you really do?
So one of the greatest business builders that I did was I worked as a coach inside someone else's business. At that time, mm-hmm. I was a weight loss coach. I was doing sales coaching inside of someone else's program. And then 6 months later, I had 90% of my business was people who were coming to me who wanted me to be their business coach. So similar story to you, like everyone was coming. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that even though that was pre-pandemic, I am still making money because I made that choice back then, because people will re-sign. Like, I still have that reputation. So everything we do will leave tracks. So you need mm-hmm. to make sure you're looking at, like, for me, I know if I go somewhere and people get to feel my energy and they get to see me coach, that's mm-hmm. going to stay in their brain. I went to a retreat in Florida, also pre-pandemic. And since I was there to today, 50% of those people have hired me for one-on-one coaching.
Oh my goodness. You were a participant at the retreat?
I was a participant. Yeah. So you have to look backwards at, like, what actually works for me. Going to conferences where it's a bunch of online business owners, that hasn't really delivered, because I'm very much in a transformational space, right? I want to do deep, intimate, high impact coaching. And if you're at a conference with a bunch of, like, people talking about ConvertKit, that's not necessarily my market. But if I can go into
an experience. Or social media templates and stuff like that.
Yeah. So for me, another thing I've done to bring clients in is on my podcast, I coach people live. I put it out there to my list. I said, if you want a free coaching session with me, we're going to do it on the podcast. And I have had two clients come in from that. And I did like a 12 session series of that. But I stay in touch with people. I remember people. I remember their stories. I'm interested in them. And I offer to help. Like, if you get on a consultation call with me and I'm not the person for you, or my intuition says you need to meet so-and-so over there, like health coach, whoever, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop the consultation right now. I'm going to introduce you to this coach because I just feel like they're the right person. If they're not, I want you to come back to me and we'll restart this call and do it over again. But I just have this feeling that that's the person who's going to be the right fit for you. So I think being generous, showing up, doing what you said you'd do, remembering people and being a human is a really big deal.
Oh my God. There's so many coaches out there right now who are like part of their, like, kind of their shtick, like their business is they say, like, you know, you'll never have to do a sales call again or a consultation. And I'm like, look, I don't know. Maybe when I, you know, they're like, I don't do, discovery calls, you know, someone knows from like my messaging, if like they want to work with me, they come to me, like all this stuff out there. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know when I'll get to a place, if I will ever, where I'm like, I'm not going to spend And I spend more than 1 hour with most people. Like if someone's coming to talk to me about working with me and they're going to spend thousands of dollars to work with me, I'll give them as many, I'll give them multiple hours of my time to talk to me while we're figuring out if this is like, yeah, I want them to feel good about like working with me. And obviously I know the difference between someone who's never going to, you know, make a decision, but like, you know, I like that. So I'm curious, like it sounds like, you know, I'll even talk to people if it's not a discovery call. Like I think it's a great business to meet someone and be like, let's jump on a call. Let me see if I can help you right now. And so often that's actually led to someone asking like, what if I want to work with you?
Right. Yeah. I did a podcast episode with someone for a free coaching call. They had no plans on working with me. Halfway through, I was like, I feel like they'd be a really good fit for my programs. We end the call and they say, can I just ask you about what you offer and like how maybe I could work with you? And I was like, I could, you know, you can feel it coming. But I think the mindset you have to have behind what we're both talking about is that there's no wasted effort. If you're trying to come at business from this transactional space of, if I go put in that 2 hours at a networking event, I should get X number of dollars back for my time. You're doing it wrong. It's like, I'm going to go put it all in. I'm going to be relatable. I want to like know people. I want to know how I can refer everyone to each other. Like I am interested in the whole thing, not just how can I get the next 10K out of my audience.
Right. Like what's in it for me kind of a thing. Oh my goodness. I actually was about to ask you another question and then it fell out of my head. So I'm going to, I'm going to try and remember what it was. It was about the coaching in front of other people. I think that that is a very, like I have a, one of my clients who is doing really well. She's young, really, she's just doing so well. And she has she started a podcast. She's really great. And she was doing a workshop coming up at like an in-person thing. And I made the suggestion to her, would you want to include in this like an opportunity for someone to have I call it a love seat, not a hot seat. I don't want someone to feel like they're in like the hot seat.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you want to do a little love seat coaching? Because that always makes people like the people that get to watch it. The person who's receiving it and then for the people watching it, it's also like there's no better way to get people to get what coaching is like. And then they're watching and they're like, I want that too. But there's a big confidence thing that has to come with being willing to coach in public.
Yeah.
And have people. What do you think about that? How can we support our clients to maybe even want to do that at some point?
Yeah. I would say find your way. So like I'm very confident being in front of people and with people. Like it could be that if you could do it as a anonymous recording behind the scenes and like share it with your list, they wouldn't have to know who the person is. They wouldn't have to see your face on video. Like there's ways where you can reduce the levels of vulnerability for yourself. So reduce it however you can. And then I think the thing to remember with sales, selling coaching or doing coaching is like, you don't matter. It's really not about you. And I think the second you bring yourself into the picture, it's no longer coaching.
Yeah.
Right. Because then your agenda is that there's a certain way you're supposed to look or there's a certain thing that should be happening. Right. Everyone's trying to get that person to cry or have the big aha or like get the thing that looks good on camera. But ultimately, like your job is to get out of the way. So that would be my,
I want to ask you, I know we're going to wrap up soon because like we could probably talk for hours. Do you think that there's, I think that like a lot of the coaches also that I talk to, they have this fear that there's like a right or wrong question like for them to ask. There's a lot of like wanting scripts or a lot of wanting, you know, now obviously there are some really great questions that like we can all like have in our back pocket, you know, like for when we're trying to help someone out of something. But I feel like if you're just listening, like if you're really present and you're listening to the person that you're coaching, you'll know the right next question to ask them. What is your thought on that?
Yes. And you have to be willing to let your questions flop because it's not about you. And like you could ask, like what I've noticed is you can do a whole hour of asking question after question after question. And there's usually one that actually did the job of the session. So you have to like, it's sort of like, I just imagine it, like, how am I coming at it? I'm going to go over to the right a little. I'm going to go over to the left a little. I'm going to like go up high, go up low, go around the back, like just poking at things and putting holes in it and like seeing what sticks, what lands, what, whatever. But what you're doing all along the way, whether the question was the question or not, is you're illuminating and adding oxygen and like broadening the playing field for that person's brain. And it's just like, it doesn't really matter. And I never know the question that the person's going to be like, that was when you said that one thing. I'm like, that's not the one I thought was the good one.
Of course. What people remember, I used to have that experience with yoga too, where people would, you know, I'd say something in the beginning of class and then people would come up to me after and they'd just be like, when you said and you just, you never know what people, you never know what's going to land for someone. And then I want to hear your response to this. Coaches that are so afraid of, or that think that there's such thing as a good session or a bad session, or like that are worried if their client is going to feel like they're getting their money's worth or their value, right? Like that somehow the coach is supposed to show up to the session and I don't know, dazzle everyone, or that, you know, that the expectation is that someone's going to leave every single session feeling like, you know, completely transformed. How do you help people with that?
Well, I think one reason we have that expectation is because we've seen a lot of coach TV. We've seen a lot of like celebrity coaches dropping the big hard question. And it's like, rah, rah, like that's just not what a real coaching session is like. So there's that side of it. And then the other side of it,
Karen, is you don't have like hot coals or anything for people to walk on during your session?
I don't. I know hot coals.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah. But the other thing is the research has been done that if someone just like neutrally writes down their thoughts or speaks them out loud to a lamppost, they will be changed. So what we know is if someone's going to take the time to get on the phone or the video call with us and just share the experience of their life and we do absolutely nothing, they will be changed. So then if we show up and actually ask a few questions and maybe increase their awareness around 0.5% of their life, that's better than, I mean, like there's no way to not affect change if you just answer the phone when they call.
Yeah. There's no way to have a bad session.
Right.
No way.
Unless you just don't do coaching. Like if you show up and you try to tell them what to do and you make it all about you, sure, that's a bad session, but it wasn't coaching. So don't equate that with coaching.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I know I sometimes like literally say at the top of some of my sessions when we're doing a centering or a grounding, like what one thing I'll insert in there is everything that happens in this time is exactly right, you know, because also I think it calms the other person's brain down. Like I know for me when I go to occasionally I do a hypnotherapy session and I always feel like I'm not good at hypnotherapy. Like I always feel like I'm not getting what, you know, I'm always like, oh, they must have such better hypnotherapy patients or clients than me.
Yeah.
They must get people that go way deeper than me. I'm like in my head, I'm spending the whole time going, is this working? Like that, that's me, you know? And I'm like, and I think people, you know, I think people show up to their own coaching sessions that way too, like thinking that they're not like getting the most out of it or something. And so sometimes I have to remind people, I'm like, whatever happens is what was meant to happen. Like, it's like,
yeah, let them off the hook early. Yeah, because really you get to decide. You can decide with your client at the start of every session. Whatever's going to show up here today is exactly what was supposed to happen. How can I help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we always have our guests give – well, first of all, is there anything else that you just want to like say or share? Like, has anything come through for you that you want to tell our audience?
I think what really matters to me is like – that we stay in the work, that if you're here to be a coach, if this is who you are, that you get the support you need to stay in the work, because we need you and we need you to do it in a way that works for you and in a way that works for your people. So if that means sticking with your business coach longer than you had planned, do it. If that means getting yourself Reiki every Wednesday, do it. If that means buying organic groceries, like whatever keeps you in the game, please stay in the game. And like stay in alignment to who you are as a coach, because you're here for a reason. And for some of you, you know, if you know it's not your thing, go ahead and quit. It's okay. Even though everyone will tell you, you have to do it. You have to be all in. You have to make it work because you took that coach training. You have to earn all your money back. You don't have to. You can move on. I don't use most of the stuff I've learned in my life.
Well, and it's also going to, no matter what, even if you change, sometimes I don't always think of it as quitting. I also think like it's evolving. Like there's probably like whatever you are going to do, whatever
you'll use it.
You've trained in or whatever, it's going to benefit. You're going to carry it forward with you. It's going to make you better at everything that you do. You know?
I haven't come up with a single job. I've thought through this a lot that wouldn't be benefited by someone understanding and knowing how to use coaching tools or just for managing their own mind in the work. Like I'm pretty sure every single job is improved by having a coach around.
I couldn't agree more. And I also think that a lot of the people out there in the online business space that are like doing certain services, I actually think they would benefit from having coaching skills along with what they're, you know, with what they're offering. So, we always ask our guests if they want to share something with the audience so that people can find you and download something from you or, you know, and everything. So we, in the show notes, there will be all of your links, whatever, however you want people to look at you. So
perfect.
We'll have your website, even though I guess you said it's outdated, but like, I don't know. I loved it.
Your
website and your socials and all that. But you also have a gift, which I love the title of it. So can you tell everybody about the 30 questions?
Yeah, I have a freebie that's 30 questions to clarity, and it's a 30-day journey. It's one question a day delivered to your inbox. It's audio, or you can just read it. And it's been one of the most well-received freebies I've ever made, and I've made a number of them over the last decade. So it's just a fun experiment with coaching and journaling every day.
I love that. I'm going to download it. I literally didn't see that that's what it was until I was getting ready for our interview. So I'm going to pop on over there and get those 30 questions.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for, you know, coming again. I want everyone to know, like, we've just met and barely met. And I literally like fangirled over this episode and was like, I want a life coach to come on the show and talk about coaching business and everything that we talked about. You just totally made my day. And I really appreciate you coming on without knowing anything about, you know, that much about me. a little bit, not a lot.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that we're doing similar work in the world and doing it in a similar way as two different people. I think it means a lot to not be sometimes out here alone is what it feels like. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're like all the way, and you're in Oregon, right? Are you in, where are you? And you're
Eugene.
Originally from Alaska?
Yeah. Yep.
That's so awesome. I'm going to talk to you more about that another time. Well, listen, Karen, thank you so much. And I know that our audience is going to just be so happy to hear this conversation. I appreciate you. And to everybody listening, I have no idea when this is coming out, so I have nothing to tell you about what you should be looking at coming up in our community. So I'm just going to leave it at that and tell you I'll be in your headphones next week, in some, whenever this is, there'll be another episode. So thank you. And we're signing off. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to Passionate and Prosperous with me, Stacey Brass Russell. If you like what you're listening to, please make sure you're following or subscribing. And if you're on Apple, that's the little plus sign on the top right, so that you get notified when new episodes drop every Wednesday. As always, I'm sending you love and high vibes. And remember, life is hard, and there's always something you can do about it.